Thank you. I'd like you to just turn with me again to the book of Genesis, to chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 8, and then chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. First of all, I pray, Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of being able to bring your word this morning.
Yeah.
Pray, Lord, that you'll anoint it with the Holy Spirit and touch our hearts, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And it tells us here, and he removed from thence unto a mountain from Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto a place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, and unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. My message this morning is all about returning to Bethel. There are places in the scripture that are places of renown. And they're renowned because of what transpired there. We remember Moriah because of the incident and the occasion when Abraham took his son Isaac, according to the word of the Lord, and to offer him up as a sacrifice. We also remember Bethel because of the number of occasions in Scripture that refer to Abraham, to Jacob, and also to Samuel. And there are many, many others who are linked to this name, Bethel. We remember Mount Carmel as a result of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. We remember Calvary because it was the place where Jesus died for our sins. So there are places of renown. And Bethel is one of those places. And Bethel appears in the King James Version of our Bible 59 times. And that shows to you how important Bethel is. It was at Bethel that Jacob had the dream of the ladder going from earth to heaven and angels coming down to minister to him. It was also here that Rachel's midwife died and was buried under a tree. So Bethel is a renowned place. And I want to mention something this morning about returning to Bethel. Because when we read the Word of God, and we read in connection with Abraham, we will notice what transpired in the book of Genesis to Abraham regarding this place called Bethel. Because once Abraham had come to this place and pitched his tent, they entered into a famine. And as a result of this famine, Abraham decided he would go down to Egypt. And what I want you to notice is how significant this is in the life of Abraham. Because Abraham, you see, had been called of God. He had been, first of all, traveling with his father, Terah, from the Ur of the Chaldees, and they rested in Haran. And in Haran, Terah died. And Abraham then begins to move forward, as God had told him, towards the land of Canaan. But when they came to this place where he offered up a sacrifice at this place called Bethel, where he built an altar, we find that the land experiences a famine. And this isn't the first time that we have known famine over in the Middle East and somebody going down into Egypt. But we notice that when Abraham has this experience of entering into the famine, that he does something which he never ought to have done. He left Bethel. He left the altar Bethel. And what transpired afterwards is amazing. Because there's a reason why Abraham returned to this altar. Because this altar, Bethel, is known as, or means, the house of God. It is the place of God's presence. It is the place of God's purpose. It is the place of God's power. It is the place of communion. It is the place of communication with God. And Abraham enters into an experience where there's a famine, and he leaves this place. This place that had meant so much to him in his personal experience. This place that had resulted in him having personal fellowship and communion with God. And as a result of it, Abraham finds himself in great need because there was a famine. And so, because of this famine, he decided that he would go down into Egypt. They were in Egypt, unaffected by this famine. So he moves from Bethel, the place that he built, to offer sacrifice to God, this altar of communion, this place where he was pleasing to God. But now, because he was having a hard time, he decides to leave the place that he had offered up to God a sacrifice. So he leaves this place. He leaves this place of Bethel and goes down into Egypt. I think the reason why he does this is because he has what I term as being a weak in faith moment. He has a weak in faith moment. And who of us have not had an experience where we have had a weak in faith moment? And Abraham, because he has this weak in faith moment, he leaves the place where he had known a visitation of God. He moves away from this place, Bethel, and he goes down to Egypt because of this weak faith moment. And what transpires there is very, very tragic, because the situation had arisen that caused him to leave the place where he was. So he must have had this weak in faith moment. And how many of us here this morning haven't experienced a weak in faith moment in our Christian life? And how is it that we, the same as Abraham, decide to turn away from where we were or where we are and to seek an answer in something else? And so Abraham, in his weak faith moment, turns away from the house of God, turns away from the presence of God, turns away from his communications with God, and he goes down to Egypt seeking there an answer to his problem. And how many of us have turned away from the house of God in a weak faith moment? How many of us have turned away from the place of communion and fellowship with God in a weak in faith moment, and we have sought an answer to our need in something else? It's something that touches the very core of our beings, because we are human. Abraham was human. And because he was human, he was affected by feelings. He was affected by fear. He was affected by famine. And so he goes down to Egypt seeking an answer to his problem. And so Abraham left Bethel. I trust this morning that there isn't anyone here who has left Bethel, who has left the place of the presence of God, who has turned away from God in a weak in faith moment. And we've all been guilty of it at some point, because we are human. But what happens next is really needed to be highlighted here, because Abraham, though he left Bethel, comes to a place in his life where he lied after he had left Bethel. Notice what transpires here. He goes from this house of God, this presence of God, this place of power, this place of communication, this place of communion, and he goes down to Bethel, to Egypt. And what transpires there is this: things don't get any better, they get worse. So Abraham, going down into Egypt, called Sarah, his wife, who is a very, very beautiful woman. And the Bible tells us that she's a beautiful woman. And Abraham was afraid that when he went down into Egypt, that they would kill him so that they could have his wife. So he says to Sarah, when we go down to Egypt, what I want you to do is don't tell them that you're my wife. Tell them that you're my sister, so that my life is preserved, because I'm not ready to die yet. And so he drags Sarah into his deception. And in dragging Sarah into his deception, we don't know how many other members of the family are brought into that same deception with him. But he feared for his own life because he had an attractive wife. But the Lord is good. And even though Abraham had wandered and drifted and left the place of communion, God didn't leave him. It's like when Joseph went down into Egypt and then into prison. The word of God tells us, and God was with Moses, with Joseph. And even though Abraham had deviated and gone down into Egypt and lied and deceived, yet God didn't abandon him, suspended the purpose in his life, yes. And so what God does is this, he gives Pharaoh a dream. And he reveals to Pharaoh that Sarah isn't the sister of Abraham, but his wife. And so Pharaoh comes to Abraham and confronts him with his deception and with his lies. And in confronting Abraham, he tells him, look, you could have brought judgment upon the nation of Egypt if we'd have killed you and taken your wife. I want you to do one thing for me now, Abraham. Get out. Go back to where you came from. I don't want you here in Egypt. And so what we discover is this, that Abraham realizes once his deception had been found out, once his lies had been discovered, he is under the spirit of conviction. He didn't find an answer to his problem in Egypt. He went down and deceived. And let me tell you that if you at any time have a weak in faith moment and you go away from God for some reason, the important thing for you is this. You must realize that things do not get any better, they'll only get worse. So let's have a look at this now. Once Abraham has left Bethel, lied in Egypt, he comes to realize his mistake. And he relocates. And he goes back to the altar Bethel. That's a wonderful thing to do. If you have deviated from the purpose of God in your life, and you have gone away and down into Egypt, and things haven't got any better for you in your life, they've rather got worse, and God brings his Holy Spirit upon you and convicts you, the best thing that you can do is return to the altar. Return to the house of God. Return to the presence of God. Return to the place where you have communion and you've got communication with God. And so as a result, Abraham leaves Egypt. Because he realizes, as I say, his answer was not in Egypt. So what does Abraham do? Abraham retraces his steps. And he goes back to where he went wrong. Remember the story in 2 Kings where the axe head fell into the water and the prophet said, where fell it? And said, oh, it's there. That's where it fell. And where Abraham went wrong was when he left Bethel. He had to retrace his steps and come back to the point where he had gone wrong. And some of us, in our experience of having a weak in faith moment when we've wandered off a bit, we need to come back and retrace our steps. And we need to take up the plough again. We need to take up the baton of God. We need to take up the call of God in our lives. And the altar was the place that he encountered the Lord. And so he relocates back to Bethel. Now, I have no idea of how you are spiritually. I don't know whether you're having a hard time at this moment, a difficult time, that's caused you to suddenly become weak in faith, question your faith, question whether the experiences you've had have been real or not. And maybe you've been thinking, well, what's the point in going on? I don't condemn you. I do, however, counsel you to do the very same thing that Abraham did, and that is return to the altar. Come back to Calvary. Come back to the place where you first encountered the visitation of God in your life. Because Calvary is the starting point to the celestial city. And if we have wandered away, we need to come back to Calvary Bethel. And we need to come back. Now, following his return, what I want you to notice is this. That following his return to Bethel, the purpose of God for his life was reactivated. So when he went down into Egypt, after he had deviated from Bethel and gone down to Egypt, the purpose of God in Abraham's life was at that point suspended. But after he repented and came back to Bethel, the purpose of God in his life was reactivated. And how wonderful is that? It was reactivated once he returned to Bethel, the house of God, the place of his communion and communication, and he started again having fellowship with God as he had known God before. And the Lord speaks to him. Because the Lord had made promises to him. And the Lord had promised him, I'll bless those that bless you. I'll curse those that curse you. I'll give you this land of Canaan. That's my promise to you. And when he went down into Egypt, he went away from those things. But then when he retraced his steps, it was reactivated in his life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Deviating from God's way can result in you experiencing a lot of doubt, a lot of problems. But consider what happened to Abraham. He retraced and he recovered. And you can do exactly the same if it is you've had a weak in faith moment. Consider what happened to King David when he wandered off the right path, committed adultery, was guilty of deception, had his lover's husband killed by sending him to the front line of the battle, but he repented and God forgave him. And God reactivated his purpose in his life. Think of the moments when others have done the same. When Abraham's experience and David's experience happened to them, what do they teach us? They teach us that no matter how far we have wandered off the right path, God is willing to restore us to where we were on the condition that we return to the altar. So we must return. We must acknowledge we've gone away, but in acknowledging we've gone away, we've retraced our steps and we've returned. I don't want you to be discouraged, but encouraged. When we consider people like Peter, when we see how he passes through a tough time, where he denies his Lord 3 times, and at the end of it he says, I'm going back fishing. I'm going back to my old ways. I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to the things that I used to do. And then he retraces his steps and he returns to the Lord, and the Lord challenges him. And he said, do you love me? And 3 times he says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And he's recommissioned because there was a moment when he deviated but came back. And the purpose of God reactivated in his life. Paul makes reference to a man in the New Testament by the name of Demas. And he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Demas, a man of God, a man of faith, a man of trust, suddenly has a weak in faith moment and leaves him. Don't be put off your faith if you're having it tough. That's my word to you this morning. And I feel the Lord has given me this message to give to you this morning. Whatever you do, don't be put off your faith if you're having a weak in faith moment. Because if you deviate, things will not get any better. They'll only get worse. You'll start going into deception. You'll start deceiving people. But the best thing is to do what Abraham did. Come back and trust in the Lord. Let me tell you about my brother Ron. My late brother Ron was the man I owe a debt to that I can never pay, because he was the one who brought me to Jesus. He was the one who brought me to the Lord Jesus. And my brother at 17 years of age was a great preacher. 17, he was outstanding. But he had a weak in faith moment. And for 12 years, he deviated and went into Egypt. It's a long time, 12 years. And during those 12 years, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. I didn't allow what happened to him affect my faith. And I was in charge of the church in the Potteries in Stoke-on-Trent, where one night he came. He repented and returned to Jesus. And from that moment, although the purpose of God in his life was suspended for 12 years, the moment he came back to the Lord, the purpose of God was reactivated in his life. He went to Bible school. His wife went to work to support him, because she came back to the Lord as well. She'd gone back for 12 years as well. But he came back one night and she came back another night. And he went to Bible school. And she went to work to pay for him to be in Bible school. And when he came out of Bible school, he was an elder with me in the assembly where we were. And I came into the full-time ministry of the Apostolic Church. And my brother then was called and went to Portugal. And was in Portugal serving the Lord as a missionary. And he's in glory now. And my brother became then, once he had retraced his steps and once he had come back to Bethel and returned, what happened to him was he again took up the purpose of God in his life and he became a great preacher. Far greater than whatever I've been or ever I will be. And that was how my brother was. But the thing I want to point out to you this morning is, no matter how far you've gone away, let me tell you that the purpose of God is suspended in your life if you're still away. But if you come back, that purpose of God will be reactivated. And access into his purpose will be real for you once again. I ask permission to do this morning. I ask permission from Brother Colin if I could use him as an illustration this morning. I don't know how many years, but Colin had a week in faith moment. And during that week in faith moment, he went away. I don't know how many years he was away. I have no idea. I haven't asked him that. But all I know is he was away from the Lord. But one Sunday night, his daughter and friends brought him to this church. And I remember the night, because the message I preached was the prodigal son. And I preached on the prodigal son. And Colin retraced his steps, came back to Bethel, came back to Calvary, came back to the altar, came back to place of communion, communication, and fellowship with God. And what happened to Colin and Anne as a result of that is this, that the purpose of God in their life was reactivated, and on a Monday night you can see the purpose of God being fulfilled for why he was called. Amen. Isn't God good? Yes. Isn't he? When you think of how God has blessed them and the workers they get on a Monday night, and it was all because his daughter and a friend brought him one Sunday night back into this church, and he heard a message on the prodigal son, was convicted and returned to Jesus. Wonderful. Marvelous. Glorious. And I want to tell you that however far away from God you are at this moment, if you've never ever come to Bethel at all, you can come to Calvary today. You can come to know Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior, because the Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. So there's an opportunity this morning for any who have had a week in faith moment and you're still away, for you to come back. Or if you've never ever been to Bethel in the first place, you can come to it this morning. And you can come to know Jesus as your Savior. Yeah. You can come to know Calvary. You can know an experience that you will never ever forget, ever again. So Bethel, a place of renown. The house of God. This is a Bethel. It's the house of God. And wasn't our worship lovely this morning? To just worship the Lord in the house. But to enjoy that, you must know the Lord for yourself. And you can know him this morning if you give your heart and life to him. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, give it to him this morning. Because I'll tell you, you will never, ever, ever regret it. I gave my heart to the Lord 70 years ago. Go on, tell me you don't look that old. Hey? Yes, I've had my weak in faith moments. But I can honestly say I've not gone down to Egypt. God is faithful. God is true, and God is loyal. Amen. Now I want to ask this morning, if there's anyone here who has never given their heart to Jesus, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I thank you this morning that I've been able to just to turn to you and to speak to you, Lord, and thank you for your goodness.